Thanks, Mark and Tom, for including me to participate in this symposium. Although I was a little surprised that I was invited, because I noticed that most of the talks, virtually all the talks, were on this grotesque-looking organism called the wireworm. But then it dawned on me, after seven talks, you wanted someone to talk about a much more aesthetically pleasing group of insects, the maggots, right? That's the reason. Okay. So I'm going to talk about the onion maggot and seed corn maggot, which are agriculturally important insects that belong to the family Anthomyidae and the genus Delia. Now, you notice that a lot of these Delia species attack vegetable crops, but I'm only going to talk about the two, onion maggot and sea corn maggot. Not because they're the most important, but because those are the only two I have any experience working with. Okay. Outline of the presentation is pretty simple. I'm going to begin by talking about onion maggot life history and management in onion, and then shift gears and talk about seed corn maggot life history and management in snap bean and sweet corn. In both cases, I'm going to highlight management using insecticide seed treatments in the Great Lakes region of the U.S. Onion maggot. It's distributed in the northern temperate regions worldwide. Its host range is restricted to the Allium group, especially likes onions. Its life cycle is anywhere from a month to just under 2 months, which enables it to complete three generations per season, and it overwinters in the soil as a puparium. And flies begin to emerge in May from these overwintering puparia, and it's the progeny of this first flight that causes the most damage. In fact, a single onion maggot larva can kill up to 10 onion plants in its lifetime. And if the onion crop is not protected from onion maggot, you can get portions of these onion fields that have 90% stand loss. Now, the larvae from the second and third generations are cause very, very minor amounts of damage. And the reason for that is that the onion crop becomes inherently more resistant to attack as it gets older. However, there are cases where damage by third generation larvae occur. And in those situations, it's when there's physical injury to the bulbs during the lifting and winrowing process, and typically also rainy or wet conditions. What happens here is that those flies will lay eggs on those injured bulbs, and then the larvae will develop in those bulbs, typically in storage, and you get quite a mess later on. All right, a lot of different strategies have been investigated for managing onion maggot. But in the Great Lakes region, we pretty much have only two categories, cultural and chemical control. For the cultural control, the best way to manage this pest is to rotate your crop as far away as possible from previous year's onion fields. But guess what? It rarely happens. Most of the onions produced in the Great Lakes region are produced in muck soils. These are located in very finite areas in the landscape. And so the land is really at a premium. Also, onion growers are highly specialized. There's not another high-value crop that they are going to rotate with. So as a consequence, you have onions grown in the same field year after year after year. You can imagine all the disease problems, too, that they face. But the growers do an excellent job of minimizing physical injury during the undercutting and lifting process. And I would say, overall, they also do a fairly decent job of getting rid of cull onions after harvest, which supply third-generation maggots a source to complete development at the end of the season. But the forte is chemical control. Some growers will or continue to use foliar applications of broad-spectrum insecticides in an attempt to kill flies before they lay eggs in the field. And about 100% of the acreage is treated with an insecticide at planting. That may be either a Lors band drench, that's chlorpyrifos, or Tri-Guard seed treatment. Now, in New York, and certainly I'm sure in all of the other onion-producing states in the Great Lakes, there's widespread resistance to Lors band. So that particular chemical is very unreliable. Tri-Guard does a decent job at controlling onion maggot, but we've seen some inconsistency over the past several years. Now, whether or not that's due to resistance, my guess is it is, but I haven't documented that. One strike against TriGuard, though, is that it's not effective against seed corn maggot. And seed corn maggot can be an occasional or sporadic pest of onion. So what growers do is they use both at the same time year after year after year. Lorazban to kill the seed corn maggots, and TriGuard to kill, or hopefully kill, the onion maggots. Okay, so this is used year after year. These are the only two products that are labeled for controlling onion maggots. So we need alternatives. Okay, so this schematic just shows you again the timing of insecticide applications on onion to control onion maggot. So you have the yellow arrow there, that's the at planting treatment, and then the blue arrows are targeting the flies. Foliar sprays aren't worthwhile. Stan Finch did a lot of work in the 1980s documenting this, and essentially you have to directly contact the flies with the insecticide for it to work. And because onion maggots spend most of their time outside of onion fields, foraging and that type of thing, they only colonize during dawn and dusk to lay eggs, timing is very critical. And even if those applications are made during those times of the day, Finch predicted a very low percentage of the population that would be contacted. So it's not really a very good way to control these flies. Not to mention the additional cost of insecticide, fuel, and time for doing this. And you're likely killing beneficial organisms because they're using cheap pyrethroids, and they may be killing beneficials that could be feeding on thrips and other types of, thrips in particular. Well, while the idea of killing flies before they lay eggs in onion fields has some merit, I think maybe a better approach would be to lure those flies to the insecticide. So over the past 3 or 4 years, I've been looking at an attract and kill strategy for flies using insecticide baited devices. Like you see here, this is about a sphere that's about the size of a softball that's hung on these posts that you can place along the edges of the onion field. And this is the area of the field where onion maggot flies are most active. So it kind of works out. It's also in the way of tractors and that type of thing. So how does this work? Flies are highly attracted to white, so they light are laying on these spheres. The top part, that gray part on the top, is a wax matrix that has spinosad and sugar embedded into it. So the flies feed on the sugar, and when they do that, they also ingest spinosad and typically die within 48 hours. Now, again, last 2 years working in the field, showed that these spheres are active against the flies for 4 months. That spans the entire onion growing season in all three of the generations. And the level of efficacy is equivalent during that entire period, which is quite amazing. And mortality is about 60% of those flies that contact the spheres. Now, the big question is, can you reduce damage in the field using these spheres? And this past year, I conducted some large field studies, field cage studies. I planted untreated onions, placed these spheres in some cages and not in others. And I demonstrated a 23 to 37% reduction in onion plants killed by onion maggot that contained these spheres. Unfortunately, the reduction wasn't significant. But perhaps we can increase the attractiveness of these spheres by adding some other attractants. And perhaps this strategy could be commercialized. Most effective way is to use an insecticide at planting, especially by delivering that insecticide as a seed treatment. A lot of advantages to using seed treatments. It saves a lot of time and money. You just plant the treated seed. You don't have to carry all that water on your tractor and go back and forth to the tanker truck. And when you have these very discrete periods of get your crop in the ground, every minute counts. Less exposure to the active ingredient. The seed's already treated, the grower doesn't ever have to touch the insecticide. Precise amount of active ingredient is applied to every single seed. So you don't have to worry about placement of an in-furrow drench in relation to the seed. That's taken out of the equation. Often you're using considerably less active ingredient on a per acre basis using seed treatments compared with drenches. And less risk of killing non-target organisms. Over the past 8 years, I've looked at a number of chemistries delivered to seed treatments. This contains most of the effective products. Okay, TriGuard is the only one that's labeled, the one with the asterisk. I've looked at Entrust, which is an organically approved formulation of spinosad. It's Armory approved. Poncho, which is clothianidin. Sopresto is a 3-to-1 blend of clothianidin and imidacloprid. Evicta, which is abamectin, and Mundial, which is fipronil. Now, here are results from a study back in 2005. This onion field had a very high population of onion maggots. 65% of the plants were killed by onion maggot. While Lorsban and Trigard significantly reduced damage, it did not reduce it to an acceptable level. Growers will put up with maybe about 5% damage, something like that. It's interesting, though, that the combination of Lorsban and Trigard performed at least numerically better than each one alone. Oftentimes I'll see this statistically better than each one alone. And it's not because we had seed corn maggots in this field. We had very, very few. I believe there may be some kind of synergistic relationship going on. And then Entrust, Poncho, and Mundial all worked very, very well. Moving on to a study conducted last year. Now, this field, the pressure was lower. Only about 25% of the plants were killed in the untreated control. Lorsban reduced damage, but not to an acceptable level. Trigard worked pretty well in this particular field. And Trust didn't perform like we've seen it in the past. I'm not sure why. But Sopresto, Evicta, and Mundial all did a decent job. One other point I want to make about these seed treatments, it's amazing that they work so well. We're talking about planting the crop in April, early May at the latest. And onion maggots aren't attacking the crop until late May, June, and even early July. And yet we're getting fantastic control of this particular insect, 72 to 90 days after planting. It does not control second or third generation maggots, though. All right, just to summarize this part, Evicta, Entrust, Mundial, Poncho, and Sopresto provided equivalent or better control than the only two labeled products, Lorsban and Trigard. And unlike the two labeled products, some of these new chemistries may offer efficacy against other pests like onion thrips and seed corn maggot. I didn't show any of that data. But certainly Mundial and to some extent products with clothianidin will have some control of thrips early on. And seed corn maggot, all those products work against seed corn maggot. So the insecticide seed treatments reduce the amount of AI per acre by 91 to 96%. That's pretty remarkable. Bad news is none of these are registered on onion yet, and I'll talk more about that in a minute. Okay, seed corn maggot. The life history is very, very similar to the onion maggot. The big difference is it's saprophagous. And this particular insect cues in on exudates from the fungi and bacteria that are feeding on the seed coat, and that's why they get into plants. And they're not very discriminative, and you could almost say that they're polyphagous in that manner. Life cycle, 18 to 60 days, three generations, overwinters as a puparium in the soil. This is the type of damage they cause to snap bean. In some cases, the germinating seedling won't even make it out of the ground. They'll kill it. But a lot of times, you'll see it stunted, the snakehead type of appearance right here. And what happens is that plant is delayed. And with a crop like processing snap bean, where harvest is pretty much scheduled, any delay in maturity is going to reduce yield. Some of the work Chuck Eckenroe conducted back in the 1970s reported that about 5 larvae per seed will cause significant stand loss. Here's damage to sweet corn. Damage doesn't look too bad other than that one kernel on your far right. And it's kind of interesting. It's called the seed corn maggot, yet it takes a lot more larvae per seed to cause stand loss compared with something like snap bean. Here's some of the seasonal activity of seed corn maggot adults in New York. And like the onion maggot, it's the progeny of that first flight that causes the most damage. And again, some of the work that Chuck Eckenrode conducted back in the 70s and 80s pretty much indicated that planting after about the third week of June or so, and the risk to damage by seed corn maggot drops off precipitously. A couple reasons. One is population is lower at that time, but probably the most important is that from planting to crop emergence is much shorter because the soils are a lot warmer. So basically, the plant's escaping much feeding by the sea corn maggot. Like the onion maggot, though, there are two major areas or tactics that are used against it: cultural and chemical control. Now, certainly, if you had the option of only planting in warm soils, that'd be great, but obviously that doesn't happen. And avoid planting into fields recently amended with manure, whether that's animal manure or green manure, it really doesn't matter. Planting, any time less than 7 days, you're going to have problems. So you're going to want to plant at least a week or 2 weeks before any of that to minimize the risk of injury. But regardless, you're still going to need an insecticide at planting, whether it's infer or a seed treatment. And unlike the onion maggot, we don't have resistance issues to seed corn maggot. But there is an effort to replace organophosphate insecticides like chlorpyrifos, and also to find chemistries that will control more than just seed corn maggot. Here's a list of products that I've examined as seed treatments: Cruiser, which is thiamethoxam, Ponchoke, which is clothianidin, and again, Entrust. Results from a study this past season in snap bean. Here, a lot of damage by seed corn maggot. In some cases, the plants were killed. In other cases, maggots were riddling out the below ground portion of the plant. About 60% damage. Lorsban, Cruiser, and Entrust all did a fantastic job of controlling this pest. And here, Cruiser is advantageous over Lorsban in that not only does it do a great job of controlling seed corn maggot, but it also controls early season potato leafhopper populations, and it essentially saves growers a spray targeting potato leafhopper. And Entrust has an advantage over Lorsban in that it's organically approved, and any organic grower would have actually some prayer of controlling seed corn maggot, otherwise not much of a chance. This is just a shot of showing the stand when you don't control seed corn maggot there on your right, and Cruiser on the left. Very, very big difference. Now moving to sweet corn, this trial was conducted side by side by the one that I just showed you, so presumably pressure would be the same, right? But a lot less damage. And again, I think that's attributable to the fact that it takes more maggots to reduce stand and cause damage than in sweet corn compared with snap bean. And Poncho and Entrust did a fantastic job of reducing injury to this crop. Poncho also has activity against corn flea beetles, which transmits Stewart's wilt, so it's got an advantage over Lorsban. And Entrust, again, an organically approved formulation. So to summarize this part, Cruiser, Entrust, Poncho provided control equivalent to that provided by Lorsban, and some of these products had efficacy against other pests, or do have efficacy against other pests, which really makes them valuable. And just as kind of a success story, Cruiser is quite amazing. Its use on snap bean, it reduced the amount of active ingredient per acre by 96% to 98%, and that's not because it's replacing another soil application, but because it saved growers a foliar spray targeting potato leafhopper. And consequently, that's reduced the amount of active ingredient by 14,000 to 30,000 pounds per year in New York, and that's occurred every year since 2004. That's quite dramatic. High stakes and long odds. Well, the stakes are really high to make sure that that vegetable crop is protected from maggots. And certainly insecticides delivered to seed treatments offer growers a great solution. And I certainly anticipate more effort by industry to pursue seed treatments as a mode of delivery for their products. Long odds is getting these things labeled quick. And I think a lot of this is, it takes EPA a while to review the use of these products. And also some companies, it's very new. This area is new. There's a steep learning curve. They have to look at their business models to see how that fits in. But I do believe that this is going to change, and we're going to see a lot more seed treatments in the future. Are there any questions? Okay, hold on. One at a time. My brain doesn't. I can't hold that much. How many bait stations? I don't know what a bait station is. We're talking about the spheres. Yes. Okay. For reducing the amount of injury. Okay. All right. This was in a field cage that was 12 feet by 12 feet by 6 feet high. And within each, I had three of those spheres. So that'd be extremely high density. We just wanted to look at, under a pretty high density of spheres, could you actually reduce that damage?
Can you further decrease the damage just by increasing those bait stations?
Maybe, perhaps. But I think economically, if it costs, let's even say $5 for one of these spheres, it may be cost prohibitive to increase it. But anyway,
one more
and then we can talk after. Yeah.
Brian, what winter cover crops did you have on the sweet corn and the snap beans in regard to
yeah.
the sweet corn maggot? And what was,
yeah.
can you comment on that?
Good question. We did have a rye cover, well, actually a cover. It was, we planted it in the spring. Rye, and then about a week before the study, it was incorporated. We planted, and then right after we planted, I sprinkled a bone and meat meal concoction over the row to really focus seed corn maggot oviposition. So we really wanted to put these seed treatments to the test, and it worked great.
What's typical in New York? Because you're talking about not applying newer or
Well, there are actually farms much worse that has much worse pressure than that. A lot of these guys that have dairy farms also have snap beans, and they spread manure all winter long and spring. And in fact, you want to make sure that these seed treatments are evaluated under the absolute worst case scenario, where you'll have a situation like Gustafson did when they launched imidacloprid and it bombed because the pressure was sky high because these guys were planting into fields that were sprinkled with manure. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you, Brian.